And now, from the world's leading maritime and offshore news website, gcaptain.com, comes the talk show for maritime professionals and enthusiasts, bringing you the latest news, discussion, and interviews with the industry's movers and shakers. This is GCaptain Radio with your hosts, Jeff Eccles and Captain John Conrad.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of GCaptain Radio. My name is Jeff Eccles and in the studio with me here is John Conrad. Welcome, John. How are you doing?
Enjoying the beautiful Morro Bay, California weather.
We've had some exceptional weather here on the Central Coast in the last week. Usually we strive to get up into the low 70s and we've had some mid-70s weather here and no fog. So it's been exceptional weather here. This broadcast is for the week of September 9th, 2013. Listeners, this is the place we bring you the latest news and happenings in the maritime and offshore industry. We have several interesting things to discuss today. First off is how one of the larger, if not the largest, shipping line, Maersk Lines, in the world has turned to social media. So we've got an old industry turning to social media, and they've been doing it quite effectively. So we'll discuss that. We also are going to talk about how the world goes about scrapping its old ships. Where do we send them to die? And what's the most effective way to do that? And if we have some time, a couple of other interesting tidbits. There was a container ship that was attacked in the Suez Canal, and of course a video that I just love about a patrol boat, a police boat gone crazy, boats gone wild in the Potomac River in D.C. So we've got lots of good things to talk about. So John, let's start off speaking about Maersk Lines, and they have turned to social media and used it quite effectively. In reading through the article, I think it really caught on, or at least proved its efficacy, when one of their boats hit a whale, and they turned to social media to defuse this situation. And actually, I don't know if we would necessarily call it a positive spin, but they were able to take a potentially disastrous PR event and turn it into something that people could actually rally behind and relate to and get on board with. So let's talk about what Maersk is doing with social media. What's your take on that?
Absolutely. The incident we're talking about is the Maersk Norwich. It's a container ship owned by Maersk, and it pulled into Rotterdam in June of last year with a whale on its bulbous bow, hanging dead on its bulbous bow. This is not the first time it happened, not the last. It happened 2 months ago. GCamp covered the story with a different container ship, but it's something that does happen. And the media came down to Rotterdam and it became a national, international news story where the media, you know, the environmentalists were calling for heads. And it could have been potentially disastrous, but Maersk didn't hide from the incident, as most shipping companies do when this sort of thing happens. They got out in front of it and they started Facebook campaigns, Twitter, showing the problem and offering solutions on how to prevent whale strikes in the future. So they've really grabbed this social media not just to expose their brand and get new customers, although that's part of it, but really to help push them to be a more environmentally conscious and profitable company at the same time by relating to its customers and the people who use its service and the general citizens in the port cities where the ships come to dock.
So back to that specific incident where the ship hit and killed a whale and then came into port with it on the bow. Maersk went so far as to create an album and put it on Pinterest, and the album was titled In Memory of the Maersk Norwich Whale. They went ahead and created this album themselves, and as you say, really got ahead of the story. Are you aware of any other major shipping lines doing this degree of social media?
Absolutely not. Maersk is really taking the forefront in this realm. To put it in perspective, Maersk has 1 million Facebook likes. The second largest container shipping company in the world is MSC, Mediterranean Shipping Company. They have 4,500 Facebook likes. The third largest is CMA CGM, and they have 11,000 Facebook likes. So Maersk has 1 million, and the second largest in the container shipping world has 4,500.
So they're head and shoulders. I mean, there's no comparison.
No.
Check that out.
And in reality, the second largest maritime entity with a social media presence, especially on Facebook, is GCaptain. We are approaching 50,000 likes, which has taken us 5 years and a lot of hard work. 50,000 50,000 mariners across the world like our Facebook page, and we're far ahead of all the other maritime publications, all the other shipping companies. But here, Maersk comes out just 2 years ago with an initial budget, social media budget of 100,000, and they're suddenly at 1 million likes. Wow. And they do it by getting in front of these incidents, this album for the Maersk Norwich Whale, provide an opportunity to open the discussion between shipping companies, environmentalists, and say, hey, we care about these whales. You know, we apologize for what we have done. And let's all talk about, figure out ways. Let's invite in the scientific community to come up with better ways to avoid whale strikes in the future. And it's been wildly effective. Another fact, to put it in perspective, is Volvo, the Swedish car maker, has 675,000 Facebook likes. So Maersk has 1 million. And that's a Volvo, who's a huge social media campaign.
Yeah. Well, and there are a lot more Volvos out there than there are Maersk ships as well.
True. And, you know, we've looked at how do they get to 1 million. And a big part of it is people recognize the Maersk logo. You see the Maersk logo, you can't necessarily say, oh, that's Maersk, but people see it on highways, they see it on cars, they see it on trains.
Yep.
And this provides the recognition that allowed them to jump into 1 million Facebook likes. Now, what does this do for GCAP? What does it do for the mariner on the ship? What does it do? Well, we're constantly fighting for new laws to protect mariners, to promote shipping, to get Congress interested in ships and the merchant marine, to fund maritime academies. But we have real trouble doing that because no one knows anything about ships. They're not aware that 90% of all goods we purchase in stores as American public comes in on ships, and the public doesn't realize that. They don't realize the importance of shipping. And by Maersk having these 1 million Facebook likes, it gets people interested in shipping. It gets them interested in laws and maritime academies. It gets cadets into maritime academies. So this initiative by Maersk is getting the pictures of ships and the things that the maritime community are interested in. And it's going to benefit everyone. And the benefits have already paid off. There's a new book out, which there's a real controversial thread on GCAP forum, the accuracy of this book, and you have to check out that thread. But there's a new book out, 90% of Everything, and it's about the shipping industry. And Maersk actually invited a journalist on a Maersk ship, and she went through the Suez Canal, through the pirate waters, and she documented all this, and it was just featured on NPR, 15-minute segment. It's getting these amazing reviews. And some mariners can debate whether those reviews are accurate or not. And we're gonna talk about that next week, so stay tuned.
John, what was the name of that book that you referenced?
90% of Everything by Rose George.
So 90% of Everything.
And we're gonna talk about that next week and hopefully have a book review for you by that time.
Good, and that book, as you described it, is specifically about the shipping industry.
Correct.
So even though that's not in the title, well, I'll have to look at the book because that's an interesting title, but it doesn't tell me it's about the shipping industry. But good. So we will check out that book next week. One of the interesting things that I noticed that you mentioned in your article on gcaptain.com is something that Maersk is doing. For every new ship that they create or that they're building, they create a web page specifically for that ship. And so that web page, that social media presence, goes along with the identity of that ship.
Correct. They're also putting other support mechanisms in it. They have video cameras and on the ship where you can watch the construction in real time. They also have those time-lapse videos where you can see the whole construction of the ship in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And they invited journalists. Maersk subsidized the GCaptain and a number of other maritime journalists to fly to South Korea and see these ships firsthand and helped us promote it on Twitter and Facebook. And Maersk has been a big supporter of GCaptain and helping us get more likes on Facebook and get the attention we need to really grow. So they've really taken hold of this, and they said it's significantly cheaper than their old advertising campaigns. They used to advertise in traditional magazines and media, and by doing this social media, they can be a lot more effective on a lower budget.
Well, and obviously one of the big advantages of social media too is it's instantaneous. So traditional media is a step behind online and social media, and I think Maersk is doing a great job. Again, going back to one of the best examples, when the whale was hit, they were right on top of it, as a matter of fact, ahead of this story. So they didn't have to respond with traditional media, which is always behind social media because it's just so instant these days. So I think it's fascinating that such an old industry, such as shipbuilding, is using a technology like they are to be at the forefront. Now, I don't know if you disclose numbers with regard to gcaptain.com, but I know that you have had, gcaptain has had tremendous growth over the last couple of years, and you're up into the millions.
Correct. We're getting 2 million page views a month now. So it's about 600,000 individual different people are visiting gcaptain according to Google Analytics. And those people are viewing over 2 million pages on gcaptain, 2 million articles or forum threads they're actually reading. And that's a significant growth. Just 8 months ago, we were passing the million mark, and now we're at 2 million. And it's because the shipping industry is finally understanding this and getting behind it. Companies like Maersk, and Maersk's head social media guy, I have to give a shout out to him, Jonathan Wickman, is a real superstar and has been working closely with Rob Almeida and Mike Schuler, who do our social media initiatives at gcaptain. He's been working really closely and promoting gcaptain stories to these million Facebook and thousands of Twitter followers. And it's been a big help. And we hope that other shipping companies really embrace this. But there's an element of fear here too. Shipping companies, when they have incidents, when they have pollution, when things go wrong, they're scared of this instantaneous news coverage. They're scared to get the information out. But Maersk has proved there's nothing to be scared about. If you're willing to apologize for your mistakes and look for new problems, just this week, a Maersk container ship caught fire. Mm-hmm. And Maersk was right on it with their Facebook and Twitter. They didn't release any information about the crew or the cargo. They didn't release any sensitive. They're still protective of that stuff that's important to us mariners. You know, we don't want our families to see our ship exploded before Maersk calls, but
right.
They integrate that with their incident response and get there before the news media and inform the families before the news media. And it's really effective strategy that's helping to grow their business.
Well, and just the fact that they're proactive and ahead of the story adds credibility in and of itself. Going back again to the whale example, no, that wasn't their fault. That's going to happen occasionally. So there's nothing that they did in terms of doing something that was negligent or anything along that line. But they put it out there first, which adds credibility to them. If they were responding, it does just the opposite. It makes it seem like they've done something nefarious or wrong or were negligent in some way. So I think the old saying that the best disinfectant is sunlight really applies in this situation as well.
And it not only adds credibility to them, but it adds credibility to the whole industry. And this is a win-win situation when a company like Maersk and GCAP can get together and bring the correct news story. Because I hate to say this, but even the best news organizations, if they can't find the facts, if they can't find the basic information, they call unreliable sources. They keep calling until they find someone who will give them the news. So by Maersk stepping up there and giving them the basic information and stepping ahead of the story, we can really make sure that the stories are more accurate in the bigger media and they don't balloon out to the size where they start bringing in facts like the captain was drunk and
right.
All these things that are false and look bad for us mariners.
Well, let me ask you this, because we're talking about the virtues of social media, which is they're ahead of the curve. You just mentioned another important facet. They're able to actually control or steer the direction that the story may take. What about any downfalls? Are there any downsides to it that you see for a company like Maersk, or has gcaptain encountered challenges in bringing what really is a new channel of media to an old line industry?
Well, I interviewed Admiral Thad Allen, who was the Commandant of the Coast Guard, the head guy at the Coast Guard, and then he went on to be the head of the BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And I interviewed him before the spill, and I was asking about the criminalization of mariners, this trend that mariners are increasingly going to jail for what used to be considered just mistakes. And he said that the Coast Guard isn't any more aggressively investigating mariners. Mm-hmm. But their tools, their investigative tools, have grown significantly. They're monitoring Facebook. They're monitoring Twitter. They're monitoring GCaptain. And when someone makes a mistake, the Coast Guard's going to see about it. And if you try to hide that mistake or do anything nefarious, even by accident, there's the potential that you will be criminalized for it. Mm-hmm. So on one end, it kind of forces everyone to be a little more responsible. But we're all humans here and we make mistakes. And sometimes the choices aren't good. You had the Hybee Spirit was a tanker that was at anchor. A crane from Samsung Heavy Industry drifted into them and they spilled oil. Mm. Now, to stop the fire, they discharge some of the oil into the water because their oil tanks were on fire. Mm-hmm. Well, that was, do you want an explosion and cause more oil or do you want to discharge? Well, there were all these cameras around and they saw this purposeful discharge of oil to get it away from fire. And these guys spent over a year in jail, and there was a huge campaign from the shipping industry to free these guys. Wow. But when you have every tourist with a video camera taking this and it gets on the headline news, so that's the potential downfall, where sometimes your options are both bad.
Right.
And you make the best of the two options, but it still could be criminal or could be looked at as criminal by the media. And there's less tolerance from that now. And it's not just tourists, but other crew members. A lot of times when an incident happens, before even the company's notified, GCaptain gets an email with a picture of we get pictures of dead bodies and explosions and things that we don't feel comfortable publishing and don't. Mm-hmm. But this stuff comes before even the flag state sometimes is aware of it, because someone has their cell phone, they take a picture of someone who just died, and it instantly gets to GCaptain.
Right.
While calling the company and notifying the flag state and all that takes time, we often get that information before anyone else. Mm. And that's dangerous. We hope that we're responsible with that information and we don't rush to publish just the goriest details. But you got to realize, if they're sending it to us, who else are they sending it to?
Right.
And are those people as responsible as us?
Right. Interesting. Well, it's a brave new world, and social media is on the cutting edge of it, and GCaptain is right up there on the front lines. You know, it's interesting, too. I bet out of those 2 million or so, or close to 2 million page hits that you guys get, you've got a pretty good majority, I would assume, of people that are actually directly in the marine or offshore industry, because I think back, as listeners know, I've mentioned several times, I had my illustrious career as a merchant seaman for 2 years out of college. Many moons ago, that was in 1987 and 1988. Of course, there really was no internet back then. And the very first ship I caught was in Norway. So I hopped on a plane and they sent me 10 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle, and I got out and a taxi took me over to the ship. And we would go out to sea and we would get things from the radio operator, maybe some headlines, but we were really isolated out there. And then even when we'd come back, we'd have to find maybe an English paper or just get things over the wire. So we were very isolated at that time. And boy, I think about what GCaptain is today and what a pleasure it would have been to have had that 25, 30 years ago. So congratulations on the growth of GCaptain, and I think you found a wonderful niche and you're doing a great job. So, and also, John, remind the listeners exactly of your position at GCaptain.
I'm the founder of GCaptain and the editor-in-chief, so I'm responsible for running the crew. So we have 3 full-time employees and a large number of freelance writers, designers, web architects. So I'm basically the CEO of the corporation and the captain of the GCaptain ship.
All right. So you are the man, and it's a pleasure to have you here in the studio talking about this stuff, because I continue to find it more and more interesting.
But I say that CEO, but one thing that social media is really puts everything in perspective, because you can't run social media and Twitter and Facebook like you run a ship. You have no control over this. Mm. You have no control over what information people are going to share. It's more like using a net just to catch fish rather than commanding a ship. It's very different skill sets. And that's what's interesting about it. It's real time. It's the data is coming quickly, and you have to organize it quickly and disperse it quickly. So,
has there this may be too broad of a question, so I'll give you a pass if you need to take one on it. But has there been anything that's really surprised you with GCaptain and its growth? Has there been sort of just an unexpected or a surprise with the business model and the way that GCaptain has come about? Things that you just didn't expect at the outstart?
Well, I was just talking to one of our competitors, but we're really close friends, and he runs another maritime magazine. And he said, you know, GCaptain, you got to watch out now. You're going to have buyout bids of, you know, potentially be worth tens of millions of dollars. And I laughed at him and I said, where did you get that idea? And he goes, 5 years you told me that by embracing social media you become the biggest, and then there was potential for this large buyout and you'd have millions of users. And he laughed at me then. Now I'm sitting here laughing at him. And
right,
we've really followed a strategy. We have good friends in Silicon Valley who have done this before, and our advisors, and show us how to use these tools. Because after all, we're mariners. We're not tech guys. So we rely on their expertise and advice. But what's really surprised me is that I had this plan. It's really worked out as planned. And, mm-hmm. and that shouldn't be a surprise. But every week it is. You wake up and you say,
it's nice when a plan comes together, isn't it, John?
Yeah, and we constantly get reports of someone was sitting next to Admiral Papp in the train 2 weeks ago. And Admiral Papp's on his, the head of the Coast Guard now, is on his laptop reading GCaptain.
Wow.
And the guy sends a Twitter, oh, I just sat next to Admiral Papp. He was reading GCaptain. And this owner of the shipping company. So those are the things that continually shock me.
Very nice. Now, one last mention with regard to the Maersk story and how they're using social media before we move on. I just found this interesting in the article. And listeners, if you haven't read this article yet on GCaptain, be sure to go to GCaptain and read this. The article is entitled, Facing Dead Whale or Lost Cargo, Maersk Line Turns to Social Media. And so right in the title there is the thing that I want to mention, lost cargo. Maersk has found a creative way for people to report lost cargo containers. Probably most of our listeners realize that there are cargo containers that occasionally fall off of boats out in the middle of the ocean and get lost. But why didn't you explain that a little bit? We'll assume that not all of our listeners realize that that happens. And then this approach, that this novel approach that Maersk is coming up with for people to report those.
Well, it's not a huge number, but out of the millions of containers that Maersk does move a year, it loses an average of 18 containers get lost overboard. What's really surprising is this has been one of the most guarded and secretive numbers in the shipping industry. No company wants to admit to cargo loss.
Right.
They don't want to tell their customers we lose containers. And Maersk not only just came out with this number saying this is how many containers we lost, but we want to get this cargo back to the customers. We want to find out, was it a securing latch that failed? Why did this container fall overboard? And in order to do that, they need the forensic evidence. They need the container.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you find a container that's just lost? So they're creating this website where you can go and you can photograph the serial number of the container, not just their container, but anyone's container. And Maersk will find who the original owner, contact them, and actually send their resources, if it's their container, to go and remove this container in an environmentally safe fashion. But it also improves their efficiency. They can find out this system didn't work or wasn't lashed down right, and they can make those improvements.
Mm-hmm. Well, kudos to Maersk for being on the front lines here with the social media, and it seems to be working. So we will keep tabs on that story. Let's talk about another phenomenon that is happening out in the world, and that's cargo ships on beaches. How do we responsibly scrap old ships? And I learned the word for scrapping old ships, John. It's in the article, but I've forgotten it already because it's
shipbreaking.
Shipbreaking. So the term shipbreaking for scrapping old ships. Obviously, there are a lot of hazardous materials in a ship, and we would assume that most ships would be disposed of properly. Is that a safe assumption?
That is not a safe assumption. Most ships are scrapped now the way they were scrapped 50 years ago. And it's beaching these ships in third world countries and some second world countries. You can argue that India is more advanced and should be having higher standards. But India, Bangladesh, Pakistan are the places where shipbreaking is most prevalent. And it's very simple process. Ship breaking is an appropriate term because they're actually breaking these ships by hand. They're men with acetylene torches, not the oxygen acetylene that we use in the United States, which is a much safer, more effective combination. They're using just the acetylene, sometimes actually more often just propane torches. Really dangerous operations, and they're going in there. A lot of these guys are bare feet, making less than minimum wage, and going and manhandling these huge pieces of steel, cutting them from the ship, watching them fall over, and towing them with ropes up the beach. Extremely dangerous scenario. There have been 1,000 people die just in Bangladesh yards alone in the last 10 years. And plus hazardous material is leaking into the beaches and a whole slew of problems. Well, in 2009, there was a Hong Kong convention to improve shipbreaking. Now, the Hong Kong convention didn't go as far as saying that beaching ships, the most environmentally destructive and the most dangerous way of breaking ships. It didn't outlaw that. It just put in safeguards to make it safer. So they weren't even looking to outlaw this practice. But since 2009, only two countries have ratified the Hong Kong Convention for shipbreaking. So shipbreaking continues to be this dangerous industry with these hazardous materials that are leaking out and causing these dangerous work environments for workers. Now, Maersk came out, and Maersk, along with their social media campaign, they started writing for GCaptain in the last 2 weeks. So we have an issue that bothers us. We send it to Maersk. They get their head guy. In this case, it was the head of environmental compliance, to write an article saying how Maersk is addressing these issues. And Maersk admitted that it's a real difficult problem for them. So since 2006, Maersk has only broken up 23 ships. It's only scrapped 23 ships in its enormous inventory. And all of those 23 ships have been recycled in a responsible manner. They haven't been beached. They've used the safer, more environmentally safe techniques.
Right, because along with that statement of the 23 ships, they've also noted that, and I want to emphasize this, that during that time, none were sent to the beach on their behalf.
Correct. But they also acknowledge that they are not a company that normally scraps ships.
Right.
What happens with Maersk is they build new ships. And when the ships get to the end of service, well before their end of life, between 20 and 30 year mark, they sell them off to other shipping companies. They're still usable ships. They still run well.
Right.
They just need more spare parts. It's like a used car. So Maersk sells these used cars to other companies, and those companies go and sell it to a third company, a fourth, and it ends up in on the beaches. So a lot of Maersk's ships that they built have ended up on beaches. And we asked Maersk about this, and Jacob Sterling, the head of environmental and corporate social responsibility at Maersk Line, said, hey, we're not just going to provide a quote to you. We're going to write an article for GCaptain explaining our policy and what we did. And what they basically said is they acknowledge this problem. They acknowledge that their ships are ending up on beaches. They don't think it is their right to tell another company how to operate. Once you sell your car, you can't tell the owner how to run that car. That doesn't work. But they are working to change these laws to support the Hong Kong Convention and look at new ways to bring the entire industry up to better standards.
So the article that was written, again, is on GCaptain, is entitled Cargo Ships on Beaches, Really? And that is written by Jacob Sterling. The byline there is Jacob Sterling. So thank you for the information. We know who Jacob is now.
And what's amazing about this is here's a company that's acknowledging that their ships are, they don't own them anymore. They're not the ones putting them on beaches, but that their ships that they built are being scrapped in this environmental manner. And here's what we're doing about it. Most companies won't go to that length and admit to this.
I think Maersk is earning an A in transparency these days.
Yes.
They're doing a good job. Well, we are out of time already, John. Time flies when we're having fun here. We didn't get a chance to talk about a container ship that was attacked in Suez Canal, but listeners, there's a great article on gcaptain.com about that, and it's got to be my favorite video of at least the last several weeks that I've seen anywhere. It's the police boat in the Potomac River that is rams a pleasure craft. So if you haven't seen that video on GCaptain yet, listeners, you got to go on there and check that out. John, closing thoughts for this week?
I really feel bad that we did not get this Suez Canal machine gun fire, RPGs attacking the Suez. This is increasing the freight rate. The Baltic Dry Index has been spiking recently. There's real fear that the Suez might, one of these attacks might be successful, or that the U.S. force, you know, response to Syria may close this canal, and it's going to have a huge, enormous impact on shipping because all the ships have to go around the Cape of Good Hope. So huge story. I feel bad we didn't cover it, but all the coverage is on G Captain articles. So go there and read it. We could talk about this for hours.
We could.
We don't have time.
We could. So listeners, thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week to keep up with what's going on in the maritime and offshore industry. And I think we will lead with that Suez Canal story next week. So be sure and tune in, listeners, to hear about that. On behalf of John Conrad and myself, Jeff Eccles, we look forward to speaking with you again next week. Be well and be safe.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest in maritime and offshore news. G-Captain Radio is a production of gcaptain.com and is recorded weekly in Morro Bay, California. For more information or to be a guest on the show, visit gcaptain.com.